Yeah, good morning, everybody. So today is a special service. It's a little bit different to our normal services. Usually people in summer, they disappear and they go back to their home countries. And then in September, we get an influx of new people into the fellowship. And so usually every September, ever since I've been here, we've always had a serving Sunday or volunteer Sunday, something like that. So that is what today's sermon message is about. It's part history, part explaining GICF, and sort of a part sermon. So I'm going to try to explain all these things for you today and then get into a bit of the word. But first of all, two Bible verses. Okay. Deuteronomy, it should be 9, verse 10 to 12. And it reads, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." And Romans 12, verse 9 to 13. "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality." Do you know the first missionary who came to China, and where did he go? As far as I know, being a bit of a history buff, the first Bible-believing missionary that came to China was Robert Morrison. He was from Scotland, Great Scott. And he started right here in this great city of Guangzhou. That was in 1816, 200 years ago. At that time, there was no real Chinese church. There was no GICF. The Chinese law at that time confined Robert Morrison to the island of Xiaomian. Who's been to Xiaomian? Just that little tiny island in the Zhejiang River. All foreigners were confined to that island, and he was not allowed to preach the gospel to the Chinese. But that's why he came here, to preach the gospel to the Chinese. So although it was illegal to employ Chinese, he did it anyway. And they translated the Bible from English into Chinese. One of the Chinese translators said to Morrison, "Nobody's going to believe in this. We have our own gods. And nobody's going to believe in this message." And they were actually translating Jeremiah at that time. And the verse they were looking at is not my word like a hammer and a fire? And Morrison basically said, "You wait and see." And then later they got to Matthew. "Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest." And the translator was impressed by this. And he became the first Chinese Christian. And the Chinese church was started. That was 200 years ago. And it looks like the first church, Chinese church, started here in Guangzhou. Have you ever wondered, though, how GICF started? Where did it come from? When did it start? Well, I did a bit of research. I spoke to some people who have been here longer than me. And it seems to be that GICF started in the late 1980s, way, way back in the late 1980s, when there were some American school teachers and some American families from the U.S. consulate, and it looked like they were in the Garden Hotel, near the Bayan Hotel, back in those days. And they worshipped God in the hotel room. Nothing like this. So the hotel room at Garden Hotel was GICF. Later, as the church grew, they moved into the American school, which was in the Garden Hotel. That was in the late 1980s or early 1990s. But then the church moved to, or the American school moved to the Greenery. Does anybody know where the Greenery is? Okay. You guys are fairly new. All right. So greenery is not far from here. Basically, that was the first foreign compound in Guangzhou. So all the foreigners had to stay in this compound. It's in Tianhe. It's a walking distance from here. And that's where all the foreigners had to meet. That's where the American school was. That's where the foreign doctors were. That's where the foreign supermarket was. And that's where GICF was back in those days, in that foreign compound. So at that time, the early 1990s, the church had about 100 people, mostly American. My wife and I came to GICF in 1997, 98, so long, long time ago. So, and at that time, it had about 120, 150 people. But then we moved to the Star Hotel. So Star Hotel is just down the road, about 300 meters down the road. And we did something strange about the year 2000. GICF was a illegal, unregistered, foreign church. It was unregistered in China. And we are in China. So we did something daring and something unusual. We went to the government and we told them who we are. And we asked for official registration as an international church in China. Well, that was new to the government as well. They weren't too sure what to do either about this situation. So after a lot of discussion, after a lot of prayer, GICF became the first registered international fellowship in China. We were the first one. We were the test case for China. Our registration certificate is 001. We were the first one. So, and it was successful, successfully done, good relationship with the government, and the majority of international fellowships now in China have followed our way, and they are mostly all registered now in China. So we spent several years at Star Hotel. We grew to about 300 people, and then another thing changed. We used to be a very, you might say, Caucasian, American, Australian, New Zealand type of fellowship. But now, at Star Hotel, we became a very international fellowship. I think a couple of years ago, we counted how many nationalities there were in this church, and it was like 50 to 60 nationalities. So we're not up to 200 countries yet. We would like to get some Saudi Arabians and people from Yemen and things like here, but we're up to about 60 nationalities. We have now a very mixed church of Europeans, Australians, Africans, Asians, South Americans, nobody from Antarctica. All right, so, but every continent basically is here at GICF. So then the Star Hotels told us that they were going to knock down the building several years ago. They still haven't knocked down the building, as you noticed, but they said that they were. So we had to move. So we moved to the Westin Hotel, and then we came here to the Hilton Hotel. We've been here for several years. The church now has about 500 people regularly and about 100 children in Sunday school. So we've grown, which is good. But we want to continue growing and make this place packed and so we can go to a bigger place. Now, GICF is kind of unusual in that every year we lose about 25 to 30% of the congregation, right? So people come. Then people go, right? My wife, when her company transferred her from Queensland to Guangzhou, they just told us it would just be a 3-year stint. Right. I said, 3 years, we can do China for 3 years. Now it's 23 years. Okay. So, I'm still here. So, your company may ask you to stay here for much, much longer. So every year we lose 25 to 30%. Is it because of our preaching? I hope not, but generally it's because people are only here to study for business and to work and then they go back. Now, this high turnover can cause us lots of problems, but I'll get to that a little bit later. I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask all of you to stand up. So can everybody stand up? All right. Thanks for standing. So, now, please sit down if you have been here for less than 6 months. Okay, thank you for being here. All right. All right. Please sit down if you've been here for 1 year or less. Okay, we're getting a little smaller. Okay. Please sit down if you've been here for 3 years or less. Okay, that's about half the congregation. All right. Please sit down if you've been here for 5 years or less. Wow, some long-term people here. All right. All right, please sit down if you've been here for 10 years or less. All right. These people really love hot summers and Cantonese foods. So don't you love Guangzhou all summer? So, all right. So please sit down if you've been here for less than 15 years. Wow. All right. Please sit down if you've been here for 20 years or less. All right. So my wife and I have been here about 23 years. Alfred, you came here in 90... Yeah, was it same time? We're both from the same city. Hold on. How long have you been here? Slightly more than 20. Oh, you're in the 20 club. Okay. The longest people that I know has to go to Brian and Maria. So when did you come to GICF? All right. They win. You don't get a prize. All right. So most of us have been here for like 5 years or less. But it seems to be like people are staying here longer and longer. So I wrote to Paul and Stacey Condrell. Some of you might know them. They came here in 1993. They still come here backwards and forwards from time to time. They own the fountains here. And Stacey wrote to me last night and promised to send me some early history of GICF. So we're hoping to make a booklet eventually. So as you can see, most of us are only short-term. We have a high turnover. And that can cause a lot of problems with people migrating all the time. Because 1 year we can have 50 Sunday school teachers, and the next year we can only have 25. Or we might have 7 preachers, and then suddenly we're down to 3. Okay, so this can be a serious problem to the fellowship. So that's why every September we ask people, if you're here, please volunteer. Because a lot of the people over the summer have gone back. They've finished their university studies or they've finished their contract and they've gone back. So I used to get very scared by this. And I asked Andrew Kelly, who used to be the chairman here at this fellowship back in 2005, I said, we won't have enough preachers next year. And you know, Andrew Kelly did the typical Andrew Kelly thing. He said, don't worry, God knows our needs and he will supply them. So I said, okay, Andrew. So, and he has supplied all our needs to now. So why are you here in Guangzhou? Well, you might say, I'm here to study, I'm here to work, I'm here because of family. But God has brought you here for a reason. God has something for you to do in this part of his kingdom. Now, some of you might say, I'm not gifted. Now, if you are truly born again, then God has given you a gift of service. There is a gift that God always gives. Now, you might say, well, I'm not talented to speak to, say, 500 people. Or I'm not talented to teach Sunday school. Or I'm not talented to lead a small group. Maybe you are, but maybe you just don't know it yet. But even if you can't preach, or you can't do Sunday school, or you can't do a small group leader, there's still lots of things that you can do. You might be a young mother with young children. And you think, well, I'm too busy. Well, there are things that you can do. You can pray. You can pray for the elders and deacons. You can pray for the people who are young here. You can pray for the singles. You can pray for people in family matters and so on. You can pray. There is something that you can do, even though you might think that there's nothing that I can do. There is something that God is calling you to do in the church. No Christian can say to his master on the last day, I had no gift. I had nothing to do in your kingdom. Some of you might be saying, I can't do much. So many people come up to me and say, hi, Troy. And I'm sorry to say, half the times, I don't know who you are. Please forgive me. So I'm really sorry when that happens. So people know me because I'm here. People know Jason because we're up front, right? But there's lots of things that you can do that are behind the scenes. I read a quote once where it said, there'll be many people in heaven who did a lot of work on earth, but nobody in the church knew anything about them. Well, that's true. We know about John Wesley, we know about Charles Wesley, we know about Martin Luther, we know about John Calvin, we know about Charles Spurgeon, we know about all these famous people. But the church is made up of 99% of other people who are not written in Christian biographies. They're not famous, but God knows them. And God is happy with the small work, no matter how anonymous it is, he sees it. So many Christians do obscure, secret, hidden work at GICF. There are people in this church who count the money, your money after the service, and deposit it in the bank. But I guess most of you don't know who that is. There are people who photocopy the song sheets and do all that paperwork, but most of us don't know who they are. There are people who assist the Sunday school teachers with those children running around everywhere. Okay? Most people don't know who they are. There are people who are in the library buying the books, bringing them over, but most people don't know who they are. There are people who are working with the hotel or with the government, because we have to work with the government, but most people don't know who they are. There are people who work with the website or the technicians or the sound. Most of us don't know who they are. There are people who move all the boxes, all the Sunday school boxes, which weigh a ton, I can tell you, because I've moved some before. Most people don't know who those people are. But there are people who are doing it in the church. God has something for you to do. So you could be a Sunday school teacher. And we're really short of Sunday school teachers, especially for children under 5. Okay? I was never a Sunday school teacher. I never taught Sunday school in Australia. I came here. I heard there was a need. I said, okay, I'll try 10 to 12-year-olds. Okay, so I'm used to high school, university students, but I'll try 10 to 12-year-olds. They're a little bit crazy. But I do it, right, once a month. Okay, so there are people who say, well, I can't teach. Well, you can assist. All right, I can't take Susan to the female toilet. I need a female assistant to take her to the toilet. All right? So you can be a small group leader, or you could host in your home or in your apartment as a small group. You could be a preacher. You could be a teacher. You could worship in singing or play an instrument. Notice that Troy is never up here playing an instrument or singing because I don't have the gift. Right? I have to wait until heaven until I can sing properly. So you can usher. Right? You can visit the sick, the elderly, cancer patients, orphanages, prayer ministry. The life of the church is very important. Technicians, people who work with the sound or speakers or the computer. The library, right? There's not many Christian bookshops in Guangzhou, although there are some, right? But they don't have a lot of English books. So we have a great library. The finance, hospitality, young adults, right? People who are 17 to 25. Creative ministry. And a lot more things. Somebody is translating for me today into Spanish. Spanish, all right. So, but eventually we will like other languages, perhaps. Okay. So there's lots of things that you can do. Okay. So a little history of the church. So we're licensed. The elders, Jason, myself, Darius, and Ian. Before it was Jason and myself. And then it was, it wasn't Elder Jason, it was actually Elder Darius. Sorry, Darius. It was Darius, Glenn, and Eddie. Before that was Andrew Kelly, who was here for a long, long time. Then Paul Condrell, who owns the Fountains. Some of you might know that. Alfred Leong, who stood up over there. And then Andrew Kelly before that. And I'm not too sure who the leaders were before that, but Brian would probably know something about that. So we moved to servant leaders into elders and deacons. Okay, so who are we and what do we do? So we're an evangelical, Bible-believing, interdenominational, international fellowship. We don't have any paid staff. Everybody is a volunteer. Ever since I've been here, everybody's been a volunteer. We are evangelical. We are serious about preaching the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We believe that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and salvation can be found in no other name. We believe that the Bible is totally inspired, totally inerrant, and therefore is our sole authority. Right, for our doctrine and life. We believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We believe in justification by faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone. And we believe that every born-again Christian is a new creature and is empowered and is gifted by the Holy Spirit to live a holy, fruitful, and sanctified life. We believe in the physical second coming of Jesus Christ, a final judgment, a real heaven, and a real hell. So if you want to see the fellowship's complete doctrinal statement, you can find it on the GICF website. So we're Bible-believing. We're conservative. We are gospel-focused. We believe in obeying Christ by obeying his complete word. We're also interdenominational. Now, what that means is that in this congregation, we have Baptists, we have Brethren, we have Pentecostal, we have Presbyterian, we have Anglican, we have Assembly of God, we have Lutheran, we have Methodist, and we have everything else in between. But we are all one here at GICF in Jesus Christ. So we believe that we don't concentrate on denominational specifics. So I come from a very conservative church in Australia. Our church even frowns upon piano in our church. Like, should we have a piano or no piano? I come from a church where they, like, well, we should only sing psalms. Hymns and choruses are frowned upon. Okay, so when I came to GICF, And we got all these musical instruments and people singing modern choruses and hymns and so on. I had to accommodate a bit, all right? So you had to accommodate a bit to fit into this interdenominational church. Over the years, I've had some very interesting discussions with Eddie or Darius or Richard and Yobi about the second coming of Christ or whether a Christian can lose his salvation or not. And we often disagree on these matters. We disagree, but it's okay, right? It never gets in our way of fellowshipping with each other. I often tell my brother Richard and Yobi, because I think he's slightly older than me, so he's my Gerga, and I'm his Didi, right? So, but we're Christian brothers. We've been here for about 20 years in total. We've been growing up in the Christian faith together. So I often tell Richard and Yobi, I said, we're both on the narrow road together. He's a pilgrim. I'm a pilgrim. We're both on that narrow road together. What do I wish for my brother? I want him to get to heaven. I want him to finish the race, and I want him to win the prize. What does Richard want from Troy? Well, he wants me to encourage him, to help him, to pray for him, to love him, and to guide him. And what do I want from Richard? Well, I want him to be my pilgrim as well, and to help me to win the race, to get to heaven together. And that's what we all want to do, I believe, in GICF. We all want, all of us, to get to heaven, right? So I'm not going to get a small doctrinal issue or matter to ruin my fellowship and my friendship together. It was a little known Lutheran German pastor, I believe his name was, I don't know how to say it, Rupertus Mundanus. Right? He's a little known 17th century pastor, but he said a very good thing. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. Which is a good motto for this church. In essentials, we are unified. In non-essentials, we have liberty, but in everything, we have love for each other. And I think that's a very good motto for our church. We major on majors, and we minor on minors. There is liberty at GICF on doctrines that are not essential to salvation. Is there a secret rapture of the Christians before Christ's coming? Some of my best Christian friends will say, yes, there is a secret rapture. I don't think so. But that's okay. So it's not an essential matter, right? So, and it's okay to debate about it, but not okay to divide and say, you're not a Christian on these matters. So the difficult question for GICF, and which can cause some tension, is what doctrines are essential and what doctrines are not essential? That can be a tricky question. But that leads us to the last thing, all things charity. I've seen some Christians who get so incredibly angry over doctrinal or personal matters that I believe they do more harm to the church than they realize. So we should always be loving towards each other when we have a doctrinal difficulty. So GICF is a church that is serious about teaching biblical truth. Christ teaches us that if we love Christ, then we'll have a love for the truth. Not only will we love Christ's truth, but we will defend GICF from error and false teachers. So even though we believe in all things charity, we do believe in defending the truth in love. So we don't water down, we don't minimize essential doctrines to accommodate everybody. Some people can get annoyed with that, but we believe in being faithful to the word of God. So, in a postmodern, in an enlightened secular society, GICF can sometimes be seen as old-fashioned. I've seen some of the blogs in the past about GICF where people say they believe in the word of God and they really take it literally. Or they actually believe in a hell and people don't like it. But we believe in being truthful to the word of God. We aim to be a church that if Christ returned today, Christ would say, this is a biblical church. A Christian teacher said, where Christ is truly preached, there is the gospel. And where the gospel is truly believed, there is the church. So you might disagree with your brother on a non-essential matter. What should be your relationship with him or her? You must love him as your Christian brother or sister. You can gently point out what you believe. You can gently instruct where your brother or sister may be wrong. But it must all be done in love. It's one of Satan's great aims to divide and disrupt this church. But if we follow unity in essentials, liberty on non-essentials, and charity, love, then I believe this church will be safe. So that is who GICF is. So today is Serving Sunday, and we are called to serve the Lord. So what must we do? First, it is the believer's duty and greatest joy to serve the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul. Are you serving the Lord here in GICF? Are you serving the Lord here in Guangzhou? There can't be any slothful Christians in a true believer. There are no sleepy or lazy believers in the kingdom of God. Jesus gives serious warning in the New Testament to people who have been given a talent but don't use it. They're thrown out of the kingdom of God. The true Christian serves the Lord not grudgingly, but wholeheartedly. He wants to get involved. There's an old Puritan prayer which says, Lord, your cause engages my heart. A true Christian is transformed. He's no longer what he once was. He is empowered. He has new affections. He has new desires. He has a new heart. He has new eyes. And he wants to use everything that he has within himself to give God glory. Most of you know I like Jonathan Edwards. And I was reading his diary a couple of years ago. When Edwards was 19, he said this thing. In the morning, I have been before God and have given myself all that I am and have to God, so that I am not in any respect my own. I can challenge no right to this understanding, this will, these affections which are in me. Neither have I any right to this body or any of its members. No right to this tongue, these hands, these feet. No right to these senses, these eyes, this smell or this taste. I have given myself clear away and have not retained anything as my own. I gave myself to God in my baptism, and I have been this morning to him and told him that I gave myself wholly to him. This is a man who was just 19 who's saying, I'm going to devote everything within me to God. If you ever read Jonathan Edwards' resolutions, which you can find on the internet, resolution one is, I will live for God. I will live for God. Resolution two, if no one else does, I still will. That was a good resolution. I will live for God. Even if nobody else does, I will still live for God. Second point, service must be from the heart. Okay? So, if true service, then it must come from the heart. Service can't be done grudgingly, or I don't really want to do it, but God has said that I must, so all right, I will. So there's a story about a boy once in the church. He was standing on the chair. So his mother told him to sit down. So he sat down. But then he whispered to his mother, "I am sitting down, but in my heart, I'm standing up." Sir, God knows your heart. Okay? So if you're serving the Lord, it must be from a real heart, like a real devotion. I really want to do this. So I often think to myself sometimes when I'm driving home or when I'm in the bus, what Christ has done to save me, that he took my debt. I was a drowning man. I was going to die. And God reached out his hand and grabbed me and pulled me so I did not drown. I'm no longer a condemned man. I was condemned. I was destined for hell. I was a man in great debt, but Christ has paid my debt. Not only has Christ done all that for me, not only has he paid my debt, but he has also given me his righteousness. I had a great debt that I could not pay. Christ has paid that debt, but more than that, he has given me his infinite and eternal righteousness, and it's credited into my account. I used to be in the kingdom of Satan. Now I'm in the kingdom of God. I used to be a slave to Satan, but now I am a son or daughter of God Almighty. I'm going to inherit heaven. And how did I get this? Was it because Troy's a good guy or he has a high IQ? No, it all came by grace. God has given me a Holy Spirit. He lives within me. The Lord sings over me. He has written my name in his hands. He holds me in his hand. He's made me a new creature. He will give me a new body at the last day. He loves me and cares for me. What should be my response to all this? The Shorter Catechism says, what is the chief end of man? Darius, what's the chief end of man? Okay. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. So that's your task. Glorifying God and enjoying God. Do you enjoy God? And do you want to glorify him? So Jonathan Edwards said, God's purpose for my life was that I have a passion for God's glory and that I have a passion for my joy in that glory. And that these are one passion. Do you have a passion for Jesus Christ? Do you have a passion for his church? So why are you here in Guangzhou? Why are you here on this earth? To give God glory and to promote his glory and to enjoy his glory. If a person comes to church and says, I am a true Christian, but I don't care about God's glory, I have doubts whether you are a true Christian. Lastly, because we're running out of time, serving the Lord in first serving others, right? So it says serve the Lord. But in Romans, it talks about all these practical things that a Christian should be doing, right? Practice hospitality. Well, that's helping one another. Praying for one another, right, is serving the Lord. I read a very sad report, and I hope it's not true, where it says that in most evangelical churches, most Christians only pray 15 minutes per week. That's 2 minutes per day, and that includes saying grace. I hope that's not true. Hebrews 6 verse 10 says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Are you helping God's people? If you're helping God's people, then you are serving the Lord. So, Okay. And just serving the Lord means serving in humility. We are not building our own kingdoms. We are not doing it for our own glory. We do this to promote God's glory, and it's not for ourselves. So serving the Lord must always be done in gracious humility. True serving and true servanthood promotes God's glory, rejoices in God's glory, and like the John the Baptist says, I must decrease, Christ must increase. And that's what we are here in GICF. So today is a special day, and I would encourage all of you to sign up for a Christian ministry here at GICF. You can sign up today, you can sign up next week, or sign up the week after. We're really looking for people to lead different departments, to take over different roles and functions in the church. So if you have any questions about GICF, you can speak to me, Jason, Darius, Ian, all the deacons in the fellowship, and we can help you more about how GICF is run. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and we're going to sing our final song. Thank you.